So we're up to the Gemara. We're up to the Gemara in Daf Mem Hei Omid Beis. We just learned the Mishnah. So the first thing we saw was a machlokes between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rebbe Eliezer was of the opinion that anybody who is stoned is also hanged. There was always a big discussion back in school. What's the correct English word? Is hung or hanged? So I wouldn't try either. But I think the correct English word is hanged. That's the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. The Chachamim say, no, somebody is stoned, then in fact they're not hanged. The only ones who are, either the Megadef or the Oved Avodah Zarah. Now, Rabbeisai, Midaf Halkin Kop over here, a little bit of a complicated sugya with regard to the droshes. But like everything, if we get it clear, we'll see that actually it's not so complicated after all. Tana Rabbanon. Now, we have to look back at the Makoiris. We have to look back at the Makoiris. Whenever the Gemara quotes a Pasuk, we'd always be well advised to look at the Makoiris. The Makoiris of this is in Pashas Kiseitse. And it says there that when a person will have Chet Mishpat Moves, when a person does an aveira that requires a death sentence, vahumos, he will be killed. And then it says, v'saliso oisei al eitz, and then you will hang him on a tree. That is the makor of this principle that somebody who has been killed by Bezdin now needs to be hanged. So, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbono, vahumas, v'taliso. Now remember, in that pasuk that we just read, it did not state either the aveira for which he was killed or what type of death sentence it was. It just says, if a person is over an aveira for which he has to be killed. Chet mishpat moves. So I think certainly we'd be excused for thinking that it applies to every single case. It does seem to implicate that any time a person is killed by Beis Din, any type of death sentence for any type of aveira, he always needs to be hanged as well. That's what it definitely does sound like. So that's what the Gemara says now. Ton Rabbanon, v'humas v'toliso, quote unquote. Yochol, I would have thought, kol, underline, with the stress being on the word kol. I would have thought that all kol hamumsin nitlin. Anybody who's killed is immediately hanged. After all, the pasuk does seem to talk in very general terms whenever a person is killed for chet mishpat moves. So it definitely does sound like vahumas, he's killed. How so? Any which way, it doesn't say. The talison is hanged on a tree. Therefore, I certainly would have thought, l'chayra, and that's why the Gemara is saying, yochel, this is what I would have thought, that all averas are subject to this halacha, and halacha is always that he has to be hanged. Says the Gemara, no, Talmud Loima, ki kilalas Eloikim tolui. This, by the way, again, if you have a chumash open in front of you, is the very next pasuk, and it says, ki kilalas Eloikim tolui. Literally translated, the curse of God is hanged. That's the literal translation. So what does it mean? Ki kilas elokim tolu. The makalel, kilas elokim, is somebody who cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all of a sudden, this second pasuk is revealing to us that what? That actually we're talking about a very specific case. Even though the first pasuk did seem to imply that maybe it's a general rule. But if the next pasuk talks about the kilas elokim, the one who cursed God, so clearly we're talking about a very specific avera. Now, what happens to the person who curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which you'll remember we saw yesterday, Rashi calls Mavorech Es Hashem? The answer is, he gets skila. If that's the case, says the Gemara, now this becomes the rule. Ma Mekalel Zeh Shebes Skila. Just like this person who is Mekalel Es Hashem, Mavorech Es Hashem. What happens to him? He gets skila. Afkol shebeskila. So too, anybody who is stoned, he will be subject to the same punishment, which means that he's hanged as well. By the way, everybody might immediately ask, one second, how did you know to make this into a general rule of anybody who's stoned? Maybe it just refers to somebody who's mekalel es Hashem. So we'll see. The Gemara makes a drash about that. Divrei Rabbi Elezer. That is the first opinion. The Chachomim Oimrim that no. Ma mekalel zeh. What's unique about this mekalel? We're not homing into the fact that he gets skila. We're looking at a different detail. Shekofar be'ikah. If somebody's Mabarak es Hashem, is denying, as it were, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or at least degrading the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, af kol shekofa be'ikah. Therefore, this would apply not to everybody who's chayev skila, but rather to anybody who's kofa be'ikah. What is that? To be oved avodah zarah. So now, let's take this very, very slowly, as we said, otherwise we'll be very, very confused. If I only would have had the first pasuk, what would I have said? First pasuk says, "Vehumas v'talisa." He's killed. He's hanged. So I would have been excused for thinking that's a general rule. Anybody who's killed is hanged. But that can't be true because in the very next pasuk, there clearly is a reference to a mekalel of Hashem. So it has to be something comparable to a mekalel es Hashem. Again, I stress, we still need to address the question, how do you know it's got to be comparable to mekalel es Hashem? Maybe it's only that very case of mekalel es Hashem. We'll get to that later. But for the moment, we're assuming that it applies not only to mekalel es Hashem, but any case similar to mekalel es Hashem. Well, there's a machlokes, and the Gemara in the next line is going to explain what the root of this machlokes is. Which particular detail do we home in to the mekalel es Hashem? Do we say what's unique about the mekalel es Hashem is that he's chayev skila? And if that's the case, so this now becomes the rule. This now becomes a rule that what? Anybody who's chayev skila will in fact be hanged, or perhaps not. I don't look at the punishment, the fact that he's chayev skila. I look at what he did. What did he do when he was mekalel es Hashem? He was kofa be'ikah. Fine. So anybody who's kofa be'ikah is hanged, which would therefore mean it's not just mekalel es Hashem, it's also the Ovid Avodah Zarah. So if you look back now, go back now to the Mishnah. Go back now to the very first line of the Mishnah. Kol haniskolin nitlin divrei Rabbi Elezer. Now we understand what that means. Rabbi Elezer says, anybody who's stoned, not anybody who's killed, because this does not apply to anybody who's killed. It applies to whoever is stoned. Divrei Rabbi Elezer, then he'll be hanged. V'chachomim oimrim that no. It only applies. Einoi nitla ela hamagadef. Magadef is the blasphemer, the mevarech es Hashem, and the Ovid Avodah Zarah. So now we understand the machlokas. We still haven't worked out what this machlokas is based on, but now we understand at least what they're arguing. The debate is the rule anybody who is stoned, just like a Megadeth, from Orech Es Hashem, or is it anybody who is Kofa Be'ikah, like the Megadeth from the Orech Es Hashem? That's the discussion. So have a look at Rashi.
Rabbi, just one question. Is Rabbi Eliezer saying that a mekalel is a kofa beiker? Or they're similar, so they're getting put in the same category?
The Chachamim, you mean? Yeah, correct. He's saying it is a kofa be'ikah. That is being kofa be'ikah.
But how is being a mekalel being a kofa beiker? You
Kofa.
cannot believe in God at all, but you're just
No, that
like.
doesn't mean, like we said, kofa be'ikah doesn't mean I have to deny the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means also I deny the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the
Well, Rashi says it only means Avodah Zarah.
No, it's also Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says quite clearly, Megadev and also Avodah Zarah. Two examples. Megadev and Avodah Zarah. Those are similar to, have a look, Rashi explains.
So Magadev is a Makalel?
Correct.
Okay.
Rabbi? Also, have a look at Rashi. Ki kilalas Elohim. Mipnei shebireich es Hashem. Because he was makalel Hashem. Because he was makalel Hashem. Nitle, he will be hanged. V'ha'oivrim v'hashovim. Anybody who's passing by, those going to and fro, Oimrim will say to themselves, Mipnei ma ze toli. Everybody's going to ask the question, what's going on? Why is this person being hanged in the public square? And everybody will say, Mipnei shebireich es Hashem, because he was mekalel es Hashem, v'gnai hadovor klapamalo lehizocher. And it says, it is a gnai. What it says there in the pasuk, if you have a chumash open in front of you, it says that when the person is killed, he's hanged. But how long do you keep him up there? Not very long. Why not very long? So the pasuk says, ki kilalas Elohim tolui. In other words, on the one hand, he has to be hanged as a meaning of degrading him, this person, for the terrible aveira he was over. But on the other hand, there is a problem with this. Why is there a problem? Because anybody who goes past is immediately going to start talking about this story. Oh, what's going on? Why is he being hanged? It becomes the talk of town that somebody cursed Hashem. The very fact there's a discussion about the fact that somebody cursed Hashem is itself a bizoyan to Hashem. We'd rather not be mentioning. And that's what Rashi's saying. All the Oivrim Veshovim will say, why is he being hanged? They'll say, Mipnei Shebirches Hashem. The Gnai Hadova is considered a Gnai and a Biur, a shame, Klapamalo, with regard to Hashem, Lehizocher, to constantly be reminded of this. Ma Mekalel Beskila. So the first opinion, which is Rabbi Elazar, says, just like the Mekalel gets stoned, the Nitle, and he's hanged, Diksit Beva Tolisa, because it says quite clearly in the passage that you have to hang him. Afkol shebeskila. So too, this now becomes a general rule. Anybody who is stoned, nitla, will be hanged. One more Rashi. Afkol. Say the Chachamim that no, it's not such an expansive rule that applies to anybody who is stoned, but rather afkol shekoifer beika. I'm sorry to tell you, ein lecha lerabois. You have no right to be marbe. Soon we'll see why exactly. What is the discussion? It's all learned from Psukim. But ein lecha l'rabois, you cannot be marbe to every case of skila, but rather ela avodah zarah. The only additional case. Again, what's the case that's written in the Torah? Kilalas Elohim. Kilalas Elohim means the one who curses Hashem is considered to be a kofa beika. Apparently, all parties agree, for reasons that we will discuss shortly, that it applies not only to that case. There is something else that's being alluded to besides for this. So Rabbi Elazar's understanding was, yes, you know what's being alluded to? Anybody who's chayav skila. Not anybody who's killed, but anybody who's chayav skila. Say the Chachamim, no. You're making the rule too expansive. The only thing that you can be marabe in addition to the one who's mekalel es Hashem is the oved avodah zarah. So now, obviously, the next line of the Gemara will have to deal with, and this is the complicated part. Number one, how do you know that anything beyond the mekalel es Hashem is being referred to? Number one. And number two, if indeed we know that something beyond Mekalel es Hashem is being referred to, well, how do you know? Maybe it's all chayvei skila, maybe not. What is the discussion? Rav Larry, you wanted to say something?
I have two questions, quick ones. First of all, pragmatic. There's a common, unfortunate lingo in America where people not paying attention, will, something will happen to them, and they'll say, "Blank, damn it!" Or God, God, and then blank. Is that Chayav Misa right on the spot?
There's a whole sugya. We'll see, I think it's later on in the Masechta, exactly what constitutes being Mekalel es Hashem.
Second of all, if you're going to hang everybody that's stoned, then how come if you throw the guy off the roof, you have to then drop a, and he lives, you have to drop a rock on him? You're going to hang him anyhow. So you throw him off the roof.
The hanging is not the killing. The hanging is the shaming. He has to be killed through skila. There's a second halacha. He has to be ashamed. He's got to be embarrassed.
So they don't hang him in the same way that they would kill him. He wouldn't die from the hanging if he was alive.
Maybe it's not relevant. We only hang him after he's dead. It's a different, two different chiyuvim. There's a chiyuv to kill him. There's a chiyuv to shame him. Okay. Now have a look at the Gemara. We're going to take this slowly. Third bottom line. B'mayi komiflegi. You have to translate very accurately. It does not say my komiflegi. It says b'may. My komiflegi means what's the machloikas? Well, we've already said what the machloikas is. So clearly that's not the Gemara's question. B'may komiflegi means what are they arguing in? Means what's the explanation of their machloikas? I know what the machloikas is. One said it applies to skila, and one says it applies to avodah zarah. So I can't ask the question, what's the machlokes? I know what the machlokes is. Burn my kamifiki, what's the machlokes in? What's actually the root of this debate? Says the Gemara, Rabbonon, Doroshi, Klal, Klaliu Proti. Rabbi Eleza Dorish, Ribuye. Umi ute. That's the whole sugya. It just needs a lot of explanation. There is a difference between klolim and pratim. All of those who came on time to davening this morning would have said, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel Esri Midas etc. Klal uprat, for example, klal uprat, klal upratu klal. Klal v'achakach prat. There's so many midos sh'atayra nidreshes bohen. That's one way of darshaning the Torah. As we know, we've discussed hundreds of times, the Torah is written, as it were, in code. But it needs to be decoded only in accordance with the rules that are given to us. So if somebody would read the pasuk and say, okay, this is clearly not very clear. For example, it says, "V'hoyu between your eyes. Well, maybe it's literal. I say, no, it's in code. Oh, okay, so maybe it means put on your chest in between your eyes. You've got to know how to decode it. How to make a gzeira shava. What's a klal? What's a prat? You cannot just decode the Torah any which way you want. There are rules through which you decode the Torah. One of them is we focus on klolim and pratim. We'll see what this means in a second. Klal is a general rule, prat is a detail. Another way is ribuyim and mi'utim. Ribuy is not the same as a klal. Ribuy is being marbe something. Mi'ut means to exclude something. So let's look at Rashi. There's two Rashis before we continue.
Can
Says
the Rav
Rashi.
give exa Can the Rav give examples of that? Because
Yes,
I know
sure.
we really struggled with this.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Let's learn the Rashi. We'll see. Darshi klali uprati. So the Chachomim darshan klalim and pratim. What does that mean? Darshan es ha-Torah. The way they are darish the Torah biklal ubifrat. They use the coding, the decoding system, as it were, of klolim and protim. Kol mokoim shesosam. Whenever the Torah is soisim, what does that mean? The Torah is soisim. Soisim means, doesn't mean anonymous. Soisim means is inclusive. Stam. Va'achar kach piresh. And after that, it gives some further explanation. Dorshin eso acharoin beprat. So the way you've got to look at this second pasuk is calling it a detail. So, for example, if I would say to you, Nachum, the close friend in Mishkefayim, please come into my house and feel free to take an apple from the fridge. So obviously that means pick an apple. Not an orange. If I would have said orange, I would have said orange. I didn't say orange, I said an apple. Said an apple. Now, if I would say to you, Rumnachum, please feel free coming to my house and take food from the fridge. For example, an apple. That is a klal and a prat. Because when I said take food from the fridge, that's called being soisim. Soisim means I didn't go into any details. Stop, take food. Which food? Didn't say. But then I gave a detail. Then I said, for example, an apple. Now, would you agree to me? It cannot be that the only thing that I allow you to take is an apple. Because then I would have said much simpler, I would have said, please take an apple. But I didn't say that. I said, please take food. And then I gave an example of an apple. So we're a bit confused. On the one hand, I've got a klal. I said, take food. Take food sounds like you take whatever you like. But then I've got a prat, an apple. So which one is it? Is it everything or is it just the apple? And whichever one you say, you're going to have a stira from the other one. So that's the principle of klal uprat. We'll have to see. How do we darshan that? Klal uprat, we'll see, means it's therefore got to be something similar to the prat. This is the best way that I can tell you you can take food if it's similar to an apple. Meaning, apple, orange, pear. By the way, in parentheses, we'll have to discuss how do I know what's called similar to an apple? Maybe it means only take green things. Maybe it means an apple or a cucumber. Maybe it means only take round things. So you could take an apple or a tennis ball. So we'd have to discuss that. But I'll call upon him. That's in fact what I mean. I definitely do not mean take any food you like. How do we know that's not what I mean? Because then why did I give an example of an apple? I definitely also don't mean that you can only take an apple, because then why did I say please take food? So what I mean is you can take food, providing that it's similar to an apple. That's called a klal uprat. That's one way of decoding the Torah, and that's what the Rashi means, that whenever the Torah is soisim means stamp, doesn't go into details, but then it enunciates it. Dorshin es ha'acharon biprat. The way that he darshans the second pasuk is he calls that a prat and applies the rule of klal uprat. That's one way of looking at it. But there's another way. Look at Rashi now. V'rbeleze darshoi b'miut. He does not call that a klal and a prat. He calls that a ribui and a miut. Increase and decrease. What's the difference? Isn't that just basically the same thing? Isn't that the same thing? A ribu is an increase, meaning all inclusive, any food you like, and a decrease means no, only an apple. So similar to what's the machlokas? Says Rashi, v'yeish chiluk. There's a fundamental difference between one and the other, between looking at it as a prat or looking at it as a miut. Why? Prat. If I look at it as a prat, at that mechanism of decoding, hainu pirush haklal. The prat is there as a pirush of the klal, and it tells you ve'ein bichlal elomasha biprat. The only thing that's really included in this general rule at the end of the day is the detail of afilu hadoim leprat, or at least that which is similar to the prat. So the prat is there to be masbir the klal. In other words, again, you asked me to give an example. When I said, please take food, without any further explanation, what would that have meant? Take whatever you like. It's a klal. Take food. If you don't go into details, means take whatever you like. You could take an apple, or you could take meat, or you could take soup, or you could take a glass of water, whatever you like. But if it's followed up by a prat, the prat is there to be mefarish what the klal was referring to. The klal was actually referring to the prat and that which is similar to it. So, in fact, I did not mean take any food you like. I meant take food which is similar to an apple. That's one way of decoding the Torah. Now, there is a Tosefos, because what we said before is not 100% accurate. And again, you have to hold cop over here. When a klal is followed by a prat, that's one type of decoding. There's another type of decoding, which is a klal followed by a prat, followed by a klal. That's called a klal or prat or klal. There, the rule is, you know what's included in the klal? Anything which is similar to the prat. But if the klal is just followed up by a prat and nothing else, then I say it's not similar to the prat, it's got to be the prat. That's the only thing that's included in the klal. Now, of course, it's a little bit difficult to understand because if I only meant the prat, so why did I ever say the klal then? Just say the prat. Just say, come into my house and take an apple. Why would I need to say, please come and take food? I meant an apple. So why don't you just say much more briefly, please come and take an apple? But that's the fact. So again, we put the comma in the wrong place in Rashi. Look at Rashi again. V'yesh chiluk bein zeh lezeh. Prat hainu pirush aklal. That is a pirush of the klal. And you know what it says? Ve'ein bichlal. There is nothing included in this rule. Elo masha beprat, comma. Va'afilu hadoyim leprat, ein misraba min haklal. Even that which is similar to the prat will not be included in the klal. So don't put a comma after the word va'afilu hadoyim leprat. It's va'afilu adoyim leprat ein misraba min haklal. Again, I'm going back to the same example again and again. Please come into my house and take some food, an apple. Do you know what that means in the final analysis? Take an apple and nothing else. Not something green and not something round. That's called ein bichlal elo ma shebifrat. Again, you would have to ask the question, which is the first qu fair question. So why did you ever tell me a klal then? Just say, open my fridge and take an apple. Why did I say, open my fridge and take some food, which is a klal, and then follow up by apple? Okay, it's a fair question. By the way, I don't know if anybody's, Nachum, do you have a siddur in front of you? No, okay, but if you look in the siddur, Rabbi Yosef, if you have a siddur in front of you? Okay, it doesn't matter, it's not important. But if you have the Siddur, if you look after the Shir, you'll see in the Yud Gimel Midos of Rabbi Shmuel, that's what it says. We have a Klal and a Prat. Yeah, I've got a Siddur in front of me here. So I'll read it to you. And it says, Rabbi Shmuel, B'shloish Esrei Midrash, and it says, there is something called a klal uprat. There is something called a pratu klal. And there is something called a klal uprat uklal. When you've got a klal uprat uklal, then we include anything which is similar to the prat. But if you've just got a klal and a prat, then it's got to be identical to the prat. That is one mechanism. Says Rashi, there is now a second mechanism. This is Rabbi Eliezer. Avol hadorshoi b'miut. But if you look at the second statement, not as a prat, rather as a miut, Loi, Ochar, Es HaKlal, Mimakoimoi. Then you have not uprooted the klal at all. If I look at it as a miut, do you agree I've uprooted the klal? There is no klal anymore. When I said to you, please take food, an apple, in the final analysis, what happened to the klal? Gone. There's no klal anymore. What I meant by the klal was, in fact, apple. That's what it means. The apple is there to be mafarish the klal, such that there is no klal anymore. But if you learn the mechanism of miut, then the klal remains. It's all expansive, albeit with an exception. Loi okares haklal memakoimoi. I have not uprooted the klal from its place. Elo miutoi b'miktsas. All I've done is I've been memait. I've reduced it a little bit. What does that mean? I've reduced it a little bit. Shemitchilo hoyomashma kol dovo underline. Because in the beginning, the implication was that it includes absolutely everything. Ubo ha-miut comes along the miut, umiet mashmo'oi, and it reduces the meaning a little bit. Shaloi toima, so that you should not say that ha-koil b'mashma. Don't think that it literally means everything is being referred to. Elo, kegoin zeh ha-kosov acharov, rather, for example, that which is written afterwards, v'hadoimin loy, and everything similar to it. So now, again, I said to you in advance, this is complicated. I'm going back to the moshul that I've said 10 times already. If I say to you, please open my fridge, feel free to take some food, for example, an apple. There is a machloikas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim how to understand that. I definitely started with a klal, take some food. Sounds like everything. But I followed it up with an apple. Do I mean to say only an apple? Or do I mean to say anything similar to an apple? If I view it as a prat, well, then we have a rule called klal uprat. The prat is there to be mefarish the klal that in fact I didn't mean at all, it's all expansive. I only meant one solitary prat, i.e., the apple. The other way of looking at it is that no, the klal remains. It is all expansive on condition that it's similar to the prat, not only the prat. Similar to the prat. So the klal still exists. You really are allowed to take food, quite a lot of food, in fact. Not absolutely everything, which certainly would have been the meaning had it not been followed up by a miut. However, at least that which is similar to the prat. That is the hakdomah. We'll have to carry this on tomorrow. But this is the hakdomah to understanding the machloikas. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanon, why? Because this is exactly what we have in our pasuk. The first pasuk is a klal. What did it say? Whoever is killed is hanged. Well, doesn't that sound like any type of killing makes a difference? But all of a sudden, we have a very limited example in the next pasuk of Kilalas Elokim Tolu. So, how are we going to view that? Is that a klal uprat, or is it klal, but it's followed by a miut? The miut has watered down, it's downsized the klal, but it hasn't uprooted the klal. That is that. Kedoma, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, Erev Chanukah, we'll get back to this. Yes, Larry, what, 10 seconds?
Quick question. When the Torah says things about different things, chayav misa, chayav misa, chayav misa, chayav misa, does it follow up right afterwards with how? Skilas, reif, erev,
Well,
bechenek,
there's a general rule. Every misa is becherev unless stated otherwise.
so doesn't this kind of play into that as well? Because now you start to say, how do I know? In other words,
Okay, so
chayav
this is what we
misa,
discuss.
it should
This
be
is what
for
we're going
now
to
a
discuss
miud,
tomorrow.
but.
This is tomorrow's discussion of Mr. Hashem. Okay.
I feel like if it was called Klal and Prat and Klal and Miut, I would not have been confused.
Okay, Mr. Hashem, all will be explained tomorrow.